Well, good morning and welcome back to the God School. I can't speak for other men, only for myself. Sometimes it's a struggle to come up with a message. And because, you know, I'd like to always bring new things that, you know, might cause the listener's imagination and motivate them that, you know, they're faith might be ever increasing. But the job of a preacher, of a pastor teacher, is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's that which he commanded us to do. So this morning, we're going back to basics. We're going back to look at that preaching which caused these few preachers, comparatively speaking, to turn the world upside down. The Apostle Paul, of whom 2/3 of the New Testament is written, says in the first chapter of Romans, 16th verse, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," what? "The gospel is the power of God," that is the dunamis, that is the, dynamite of God unto salvation, "to all the ones," properly translated, "all the ones faithing." 17th verse, "for therein," where? In the gospel, in the power of God unto salvation, "is a righteousness," not the righteousness. God shows his righteousness in many aspects as, you know, the cuts of a diamond. Here is a righteousness of God found in the gospel. "For therein is a righteousness of God revealed." It's uncovered. How is it uncovered? From faith to faith. As it is written, King James translation, "the just shall live by faith." Oftentimes we've said from this platform, when you encounter the words of the King James, just, justified, justification, They're all translating a root Greek word with its different prefixes and suffixes, but the root is decay. It's the same word, folks, translated a righteousness of God. Therefore, it should be translated, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, Paul is going to go on in this epistle to the Romans. He's making his arguments. He's making his declarations clear. He speaks in the second chapter of the Jew who has the law. He speaks of the heathen who has not the law. He speaks at times, the heathen without the law outperforms the Jew who has the law. In the third chapter, the 10th verse, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Which brings us to, as powerful a passage as we might find in all of Scripture, which begins in the 20th verse of this third chapter of Romans. Having concluded, there's none righteous, no, not one, he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be. King James, I'm going to give you, I can't keep going back and forth. I'm going to give you the proper translation. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be righteousified in his sight. That is, in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In this case, the law, like a mirror, shows us our condition. And it doesn't match that righteousness of God, which was expressed through the law, that if you did this and did that and didn't do this and didn't do that, then you'd be righteous. Conclusion, none righteous. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be righteousified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What's the purpose of the law? To show us that we are sinners. But the 21st verse opens, but now, something new, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's revealed. It's come to be seen. It's no longer hidden. Was this brand new? No. How often have we said that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed? Throughout the Old Testament, we can find the gospel . It's not wholly understood until revealed in the new. But now a righteousness of God without the law is manifested, as we said, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It's been there all the time. Even a righteousness of God, if I didn't make it clear in that 21st verse, it should literally read, but now a righteousness of God. 22nd verse is consistent again. The King James is consistently wrong. It says, even a righteousness of God, which is, and like I said, I'm going to give you the proper translation, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the ones faithing. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being righteousified freely by His grace, by His unmerited favor, to the extent we earned it. It's not grace, being righteousified freely. Hosea, in that 14th chapter, it says, I will love them freely. Being righteousified freely by His grace through the redemption, that is the ransom, that is the price paid, that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be the Greek hilasterion, mercy seat. In the Old Testament, it was called the kapareth. It was called the covering. It was the place where once a year the high priest was allowed to come into the Holy of Holies. Never without the blood. And should and if that sacrifice was acceptable to God, God in the Shekinah would appear on that capereth on that mercy seat, on that hilasterion, a place, the place, where God would meet the high priest, the representative of the people, of us all. And the 25th verse says, whom God has set forth to be, speaking of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, God has set before his face forever Jesus to be a hilasterion, a mercy seat, the place that he would meet us, how? Through faith in his blood, to declare. I used the word earlier, argument. This is a declaration. We are declaring the gospel. We're not arguing. We are declaring. And our authority is, thus saith the word of the Lord. To declare his righteousness, that is God's. This word righteousness. As it is first translated righteousness out of the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is tzedek, and folks, it has to do with keeping covenant. God is not only a covenant maker, he is the covenant keeper. And keeping covenant is righteousness. To declare, that is his, that is God's righteousness for the remission, for the passing over, if you will, of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, Paul says again, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that is God's, that he might be righteous, and the righteous of fire. King James says, of him which believeth in Jesus, no, of the of him or them which are part of the faith of Jesus. Paul says, where's the boasting then? It's excluded. But by what law? Of works? No, no. But the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude, we are led to only this conclusion, that a man is righteousified by faith without the deeds of the law. Habakkuk says it, second chapter, fourth verse, the literal translation which I got from my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott. For whom I am eternally grateful to God for his gift in bringing knowledge and understanding of this word to me, which I now, having received it, do share with you. His translation, the Hebrew, the literal of Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous of me, God speaking, the righteous of me ones by the, I'm going to say faith. The Hebrew word is amen, without spending a great deal of time this morning. We've spent much time on this word in the past. It's a word which is dominated by the expression, no doubt. It's not so be it, it's no doubt. The righteous of me ones by the amen of him, that is the amen of Jesus Christ. Shall live. It's repeated not only in the 17th verse of Romans 1, but the 11th verse of Galatians 3. It's also in the 38th verse of Romans 10. This is the verse, what's the word I want to use? Most Christian teachers are aware that, Habakkuk is quoted in those Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews passages. What many are not aware of is in the 13th chapter of Acts. In the 38th verse, it says, Paul and Barnabas are speaking in Antioch, where the word Christian is first used. And he says, but be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that is Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, underline this, all, King James, that believe are justified. Let's put it in, the way it should be. By Christ, all that faith in him are righteousified from all things from which ye could not be righteousified by the law of Moses. The law is good. It is an expression of God's righteousness, but it had not the power to reach down to save, for in doing so, it would compromise itself. Another witness to what the gospel, the good news, the God spiel, the God spell, those who come under the influence of the Word of God, those that are influenced by the Word of God, that they might faith. Believe doesn't make it. Faith on the Word of God, in which over 8,000 promises are made, and we have the license in Christ Jesus from that 2 Corinthians 1:20 passage that all the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. Wherein we may grab hold of the promise of God that might fit our particular situation, whatever it may be, whether it be health, or sin, or poverty, or sickness, or whatever arises out of the human experience, God has made promises available to us. Who grab hold of, and in doing so, act upon it, based upon what the heart believes, and it's sustained by confidence. 10th chapter of Romans says, with the heart man believes, with the mouth declaration is made. With the mouth, grab hold of the promise and say, as recipients of the promise, to God our Father, in our Lord Jesus Christ, we say thank you. I say in because in the operation of the gospel, those faithing ones are not only put in Christ and God now views them as though they are Christ, but He puts Christ in us. And through the analogy, God puts on the glasses and again sees us as Christ, not because of our performance, but He gives us Christ's performance. In the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, of the Gospel of Luke, in verse 1 it says, "And he spake," that is Jesus. "Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint." Out of the Old Testament, words, this word comes into the Greek and now translated into English. It says, "always to praise." The word means to shine. Hallel is a Hebrew word that is incorporated in this word pray. That is praise. Yada, with arms uplifted, to pray. To barak, to humbly bow. With understanding of what God in Christ has done for us. It also includes to sing, it includes to kneel. He tells parable of the unjust judge. I'm not going to go into that. But in the 8th verse, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And he goes and he tells another parable and he says, "And Jesus spake this parable unto certain," listen, "which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican," that a known sinner. I'm raising my hand. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this," he's pointing a finger over, "as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." You ever encounter any Christians like that? Or so-called Christians like that? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God,'" King James translation, "'be merciful to me, a sinner.'" The word being translated here, merciful, is hilasmos. It is a derivative of that word, hilasterion. What he is saying is, "God, be mercy seated to me." Paul says now in Romans, as a result of what Christ has done for us, that is, having taken upon himself all past, present, future, all our iniquities, and paid the price, he gave his life, whom God has now raised up at the time Paul is writing his Romans letter and is declaring that God has set Jesus Christ in front of his face to be a mercy seat forever. Smote his breast, saying, God, be mercy seated to me, a sinner. Jesus goes on and says, I tell you, this man the publican went down to his house righteousified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You don't humble yourself to be exalted. You humble yourself and God will exalt you. Jesus said in the 27th verse of the same chapter, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Nevertheless, Jesus said, as a prelude to the following verses in this 18th chapter of Luke, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Ephesians tells us that by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. And there be no boasting, of ourselves, but of God, and of his work, and what he has done for us through Jesus Christ, wherein we do boast of God, of his grace, and of his gospel, of his God spell, of God and the influence that his word has had upon the hearers of his word, and the result is faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's the God School for today.